Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back for another episode of the Startup Hustle. This is your host today, Matt Watson. We're going to talk about some fun stuff today. We're with Steve Naito today. He was the co-founder and CEO of Anyplace. It's a really cool story from being an immigrant to first-time entrepreneur, has a great business, and recently raised the Series B. So we're going to talk about his journey. And today, I think he's actually sleeping in his competitor's house, which I think is going to be a fun part of the story. You know, he has a great business helping some digital nomads like him, I think, go all over the U.S. and work remotely. And, you know, I would love to travel the world and do that. It'd be fun for some people. And I think that's part of his long-term goal of his company, too, I'm sure we'll talk about. Do want to remind everybody that today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale. Hiring software developers is a huge pain in the ass, but Fullscale can make it easy for you. We have a great team, and if you need to build a permanent team to help your business, we can help you. Check us out at fullscale.io. Steve, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
Now, are you safe where you're at, like sleeping in your competitor's house? Like, are you safe?
I'm safe so far. You know, I usually live in any place, but I was kicked out of any place property because currently our San Francisco properties are fully occupied, which is a good problem. And I'm now, you know, testing out one of the competitors' properties.
So. Well, that's, I mean, hey, if you have a paying customer, I would take their money, right? Like, take their money and stay somewhere else. Right? That's business. Right? You got to do whatever you got to do.
Right. But, you know, it's good. I already learned, you know, a lot of stuff from them, like from the booking process and their dashboard in their app. And you know, which is good investment.
It's good to be a, you know, we'd call it a secret shopper, right? Like, you're seeing what the competitor does and getting ideas from them. It's always good.
Right.
I won't tell them, okay?
Oh, okay.
Your secret is safe. Yeah, your secret is safe with us and the millions of people listening to the podcast today. So
thank you very much.
Well, Steve, tell us a little bit about your journey. You mentioned me before, you're an immigrant from Japan and first-time entrepreneur. And tell us your story. I think it sounds like a great story.
Yep. So I'm originally from Japan. After I graduated my college, I moved to San Francisco. At that time, I didn't speak English. I didn't have money. I didn't have friends here. I had nothing. But I had a dream. My dream is to build a global product. And I believe San Francisco Bay Area is the best place to build a global product because there are so many great founders and investors and talent who has an experience in building global product. So that's why, you know, I, you know, moved to San Francisco. And let me share one more story. When I was a college student, I watched a movie called The Social Network. Do you know The Social Network? Yeah.
You
know, the story about Mark Zuckerberg founded Facebook. So now, you know, everyone hates Mark, but at that time, he was a rock star. And then I was shocked, you know, young person who are the same age as me, and he creates Facebook, and everyone around the world, you know, using Facebook. So I was shocked, and I know the place of Silicon Valley, and I want to go there because, to be honest with you, 90% of Japanese startups, 90, they are copycats. They copy US startup and right. localize them into the Japanese market. So it's boring. I don't want to spend my time on, you know, someone's idea for 10 years or 20 years. So that's why, you know, I moved to, you know, from San Francisco.
So when you went to college, did you study business or entrepreneurship or any of those kinds of things, or what did you study?
I studied economics, so I was an average student. Yeah.
Okay. So you came to San Francisco to live the dream. Now, you know, I guess, 100 years ago, whatever, it had been the gold rush, right? Everybody was going there to find gold, but you're going there to start a company, which is awesome. So how did you end up with this business idea? How did you get to any place? You should tell us a little bit about any place first, but then, you know, how did you get to that business idea?
All right. So any place is a hospitality brand for remote workers. We are building remote work friendly, fully furnished apartment with high speed internet and office setup. Each unit has a standing desk, ergonomic chair, ultra wide monitor, webcam, mic, mouse, keyboard, everything you need to be productive during your stay. And you can rent out, you know, our apartment on a monthly basis. So you can move in and out whenever you want. So it's flexible housing. Then we are currently available in 4 cities across the United States, San Francisco, New York, LA, and San Diego. So I started, you know, any place because I wanted this product for myself. But our initial idea was different. Our initial idea was a marketplace that allows people to live in a hotel on a monthly basis. Yeah, so I've been a digital nomad for the past 5 years, and then I change my location on a regular basis. But at that time, when we started our original idea, it was 5 years ago, I was frustrated about the housing situation. You know, if I rent out apartment, I need to commit to long-term contract, usually right. 12 months. Right. And also I need to set up Wi-Fi and utilities, and I need to furnish them. So it was stressful. Then I came up with an idea. You know, why don't we, you know, live in a hotel? It's pretty flexible. Right. And then I reached out, you know, several hotels and or Airbnb, you know, vacation rentals, and some, you know, properties gave me a huge discount if I stay longer, you know, more than 30 days. And I started living in a hotel, and then I was like, hey, I like this experience, and then someone should, you know, enjoy, you know, the same experience. And this is how we started our original idea of, you know, marketplace. Yeah.
Well, so there are some hotels that are geared around longer stay, right? There are some of those out there that are for week-long or monthly rentals, right? But there's not a lot of them. That's not very common, right?
Right. Yeah. Extend stay hotel, that types of category is growing. But but usually, you know, they offer, you know, longer term stay, like weekly, monthly stay, plus, you know, kitchenette, small kitchen space.
Right.
Not something like any place, like, you know, high speed internet and, you know, standing desk and monitor stuff.
Some of those extended stay places I've seen before are not very nice either. Like, I feel like the people that live there are the people that got kicked out of their apartment because they didn't pay their rent or something. Like,
right.
It seemed like they're kind of rough, weird places. But for most hotels or Airbnb, right, they want to make $200 a night or $300 a night or whatever rent. So they don't really want to give you a discount, right, because they want to sell every weekend for a premium at $300 or whatever. So they want to block off their whole schedule at a massive discount probably. So it is kind of its own unique type of business. And are there Airbnbs that rent out by the month too? There are some?
Yeah, they recently focused on, you know, more than 30 days plus stays this area. Yeah, because, you know, as you know, due to the pandemic, everyone can work from anywhere, right? The pandemic has changed how people live and work. So Airbnb wanna focus on this area recently. Actually, we are a good partner with Airbnb. Around 30% of bookings came from Airbnb, actually. You know, we list our properties on Airbnb.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, they're one of your go-to-market strategies. So what does it cost on average for somebody to rent one of your places? I'm going to guess it varies wildly from San Francisco to one place or another, but like what does that cost?
Right. It really depends on the room type and location. For example, San Francisco, so you could rent out studio from, around 4K per month.
Okay.
And one bedroom, I'd say, 5K or 6K. But everything is included, like, furniture. We provide fully furnished accommodations. So, and then you can rent out our apartments on a monthly basis. So you will enjoy really, flexible type of lifestyle through any place.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think that would be very useful for some people. Absolutely. For sure. So did you tell me before you went through some kind of accelerator as well?
Right. We graduated from Jason Calacanis's accelerator. So Jason is one of the most famous angel investors in the Bay Area. He invested in Uber, Robinhood, Calm. And then also he hosts, two famous podcasts. One is This Weekend Startups, and second one is, All In Podcast. So he started his own incubator, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago. And then, we graduated his, incubator. And then after we graduated his incubator, he consistently, invest in a company like 3 or 4 times.
Wow. So you guys have now raised recently a Series B. So tell us, as a, first-time founder, what it was like going through, the seed stage of it. It sounds like that gentleman helped probably a lot through the accelerator and the funding. But tell us about that journey of the fundraising and all of this.
Good question. So let me start with his incubator. So when we got accepted for his incubator, we were working on our previous idea, marketplace idea, and then we had a small traction, like we generate, 10K per month as a revenue. And then through his incubator, every week I pitched to, top tier VCs, who Jason, bring every week, like 5 or 6, investors from top tier VCs.
Okay.
And I pitched to them. But, again, I'm an immigrant, and then I'm not a native English speaker. So it was tough, but, it was a 12 or 13 week program. And I'm getting used to, I could prepare my pitch, and also I'm getting used to, what types of, questions investor to ask me. So it was a great experience. I'm pretty getting used to pitch to US investors. And after we graduated, his incubator, they connected a lot of, local investors, and we could raise 2.5 million seed round after that. We accelerate, our growth. But during the pandemic, we pivot because, due to the pandemic, everyone stopped moving, and then our, revenue went down almost a half. And at that time, we were struggle, but we need to survive. And then I realized that, the pandemic has changed the way people live and work. And many people started, nomadic lifestyle, and some of my friends, rent out Airbnb, but they bring monitor, or a chair into the Airbnb. And then when I saw this, we should create, something like, work-friendly accommodation. It should be, future standard of accommodation. So this is how we pivot from the marketplace to our current model. And then after that, our growth is like, crazy rapid. And then Jason, we build a great relationship with Jason. And then Jason really likes, you know, what we are building. And he led, you know, our previous round, Series B. At that time, we raised more than $10 million.
In your, was that the Series A?
No, actually, like, sorry. Before Series B, we did $5 million, $5 million okay. Series A funding.
Okay.
And then recently, yeah, we closed $10 million Series B.
And so Jason helped you do all of that, all three rounds?
Yeah, how to pitch, you know, investors, and then also he always like making, you know, first investment of every round of funding.
Okay.
Which is great, right? The getting first check is tough, pretty tough. Yeah. So he could help us a lot in this way.
So one of the things I see on LinkedIn a lot is people would be like, well, Series A companies need to do this and Series B companies should do this. So I ask you, who recently went through this, Series A, Series B, was there anything like fundamentally different? You're like, oh, when we got to Series B, we needed to hire a CFO. That was like the key thing. Or was there anything really kind of key to you? Like, okay, we did the Series B. Now we need to do this. We like need to do these things differently. People always talk about it. I'm just curious from your, you know, from your experience, did any of that kind of stuff happen?
Great question. So I would say until Series A funding, companies should be focused on top line revenue because they need to prove their model, whether there's demand or not. But after Series A, companies should be mindful of, you know, unit economics and also retention, how people coming back, how often people coming back, how people love, you know, our product, how people choose us rather than competitors. So we've been focusing on many, you know, like retention part, and then actually, you know, our customers, specifically our customers, love our product, you know. Again, we are currently available only in 4 cities, right? But our returning customers stay with us, you know, 4 times or, you know, 5 times already. So it's pretty high retention rate. And if we expand into more, you know, major markets across the United States, definitely we will see more, you know, retention increase. So yeah, so this is how, you know, companies take a look at different metrics at a different stage, I would say.
So now that you recently closed your Series B, is there something new that you've really focused on? Like part of that, maybe you spent some of that $10 million on some specific investments, or what is new in the Series B for you that you're focused on?
Yep. So one is expansion. So we prove, you know, our product is working, and also our customers love our product. So we should expand into, you know, any place across the United States. And also, we should be mindful of profitability. So investors would see more, you know, profit or sustainability of the company. So our focus has shifted from the top line revenue to more like unit economics and profitability recently.
So what is your guys' model? Do you buy these houses or condos or whatever, or are you like renting them from somebody else and then putting them in the platform? Like, how do you do that?
Yep, our model is subleasing model.
Okay.
So we work with large real estate operators across the United States. For example, Greystar, Avalon Bay, UDR. We partner with them. They have multi-family apartments across the United States. And, you know, by partnering with them, we can expand our units in a scalable way and more rapidly.
And you're another avenue for them to have renters, right? Like they're trying to fill thousands, like potentially tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of doors, right? Like they own a lot of apartments and stuff. So it's good for them.
Right. That's correct.
So do you foresee having like long-term, I don't know if you call them customers or what your terminology is for them, that maybe like they're almost permanently with you. They're like, hey, they're 3 months in New York. We're 3 months in Miami in the winter. And like, we're, you know, like you think you're going to have some people that they almost, they live at any place, but they're just always at any place, right? You have some people like that now?
Yeah, I mean, some customers live with any place, but I'd say, again, we are still available in 4 cities. We should expand into more, you know, markets. So when I talk to our returning customers, one customer stayed with us 4 times in LA, but he, you know, goes back and forth between LA and Miami. But we don't have any, you know, available unit in Miami. So you know, we are losing opportunity. So my dream is like more people live in any place. It's going to be lifestyle brand, not just accommodation.
Right. Well, I do want to take a minute to remind everybody that today's podcast is brought to you by Fullscale. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult. Go to fullscale.io and put in the type of developers you're looking for. We have developers available today. Build a team for you, works directly for you. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. So Steve, is software, is tech like a big part of your business? Have you had to build a lot of software for this?
Great question. So we are planning to invest in more software part. For example, we are planning to launch a concierge app, which streamline, you know, our guest stay experience. Because most of our customers came from outside of the city. For example, if I stay with any place in New York, I usually, you know, came from outside of the New York, and I'm not familiar with the neighborhood, you know, local stuff. But usually, you know, when I move to new unit, I start finding like grocery store, you know, especially Japanese grocery store. I'm Japanese. gym and yoga class and something like that. But we can help, you know, through our concierge app. And then through this process, we can collect customer preferences, right? And then when I, you know, move out to New York and then I stay with any place in LA next time, any place can offer personalized experience, right? So my dream is like whenever, you know, people stay with any place, we can provide a personalized experience because we already know your preferences during the, you know, concierge process. So this area, I'm planning to invest in more.
Well, it's one of the things I was thinking about earlier. Are there other challenges that these sort of digital nomads have that you can help them solve, like how to get mail, or like, are there things like that that you can help them solve if they're a customer of yours?
That's a good point. So our customers stay with us 2 months on average. So we have a long customer touch point. So there are a lot of, you know, opportunity for us to upsell. Like you said, like meal, you know, delivery services, or, you know, we can offer a meal kit. And also, if our customers like our amenities, or like our shampoo, rinse, or furniture, or a standing desk, you know, maybe, you know, they could purchase through our website, or, you know, we can promote, you know, those items through any place. So this is, you know, something creative way I'd like to promote, you know, services and product during our customer stay.
So today, how do people find out about any place? What is your like go-to-market strategy? You mentioned some people find you on Airbnb, which is awesome. But have you how else do you like sell and promote?
Good question. So we list our properties on third-party, you know, platform like Airbnb, Blueground, you know. So I would say 30 to 40% of bookings came from those channels. But for the rest of bookings came from direct. So when people Google like remote work friendly accommodations, or, you know, high speed internet or fully furnished apartments, we will appear on the top because, you know, nobody offers the same experience. We are only operators. So our uniqueness are getting easier for us to acquire new, you know, customers. And recently, you know, many customers find us through Zoom calls. This is interesting because our customers usually have, you know, a lot of Zoom calls, right? And then people introduce any place during the ice break. Hey, where are you, you know, working from? And then this is any place. And this is super productive, you know, accommodation, something like that. Now I'm, you know, staying at competitor's property. So, you know.
Don't worry. We're not going to tell anyone about that, Steve. Nobody's going to know.
Ah, okay. Good to know. But yeah, so this is how, you know, recently people find any place.
Okay. Well, I think for me, one of the challenges with a lot of businesses, and so we even have this at Full Scale at my company, is dealing with supply and demand, right? Like, you know, you have to have inventory to sell, right? You have to have apartments in specific cities, but it's always a challenge of like, hey, like how many units do we have? How many units do we furnish versus having the demand, right? Like, okay, do we have enough demand in San Francisco or do we have enough demand in Miami to go to Miami, right? Like how is the challenge of that for you dealing with the supply and the demand sort of it?
Good question. I would say supply strategy is, you know, kind of tricky, difficult. especially like, you know, when we launch new properties in, for example, Miami, we don't know the demand yet, right? We need to test, you know, few properties like a different neighbor. The actually, like our performance, like occupancy rate is really depend on the location, I would say neighbor, but nobody knows
your demand in Miami, there will be no demand for July and August. Just like there will be no demand in Minneapolis in January and February, right? Ain't no digital nomad wants to go there, right? So that's the other struggle you're going to have is like there's seasonality to this too, right?
That's true. There's seasonality depends on the market. Like as you mentioned that, like LA is, you know, a high demand season during the winter season, but during the summer season, there's low demand. But we offset those seasonality to diversify our portfolios. Like we have properties in New York, we have properties in LA. So that's our, you know, part of strategy.
Well, is that going to be something you can work out with your partners that own these facilities to say, look, in LA, we want 100 units, but only during this 6 months of the year, and the other 6 months of the year, maybe we don't want any or whatever, right? Like, is that something you're going to be able to do with them, you think, is try and do stuff like that?
That's an interesting point. I would say we offset, you know, those seasonality with different customer types. So actually, you know, 40% of our customers are individual digital nomads, but 60% of our customers are B2B, like long-term business travelers. Okay. So they, they need a place, for example, they need a place in New York 2 to 3 months.
And the weather doesn't matter. They have to be there.
Doesn't matter. Every year they need a place. So we diversify, you know, not only portfolios, also like our customers.
So I have a friend here in Kansas City that owns an Airbnb property that tries to solve this exact scenario you just mentioned. He sells to traveling nurses. So there's like traveling nurses, traveling doctors that are like doing the residencies, all that kind of stuff. They have to go to LA or wherever it is they got to go, right? They've got to live there while they're doing their residency or they're a traveling nurse and they need, like, that's a whole nother market for you, right? Is like you said, it's like a B2B, like traveling professionals that have to go do that stuff. So
that's right.
But they may not be there very long, so they don't want to rent like an apartment for a year or whatever. They need sort of short term rental, but it's more month to month.
That's a good point. Our B2B customers tend to stay shorter, like 2 months or something. But our, you know, individual digital nomads tend to stay longer in terms of, you know, LTV. They returning. Right. So they keep moving and then, they tend to return to any place.
So did you mention today you're in four major cities?
Right.
So and what were those cities again?
San Francisco, New York, LA, and San Diego.
Okay. So how many cities do you hope to get to in 2024? What is the goal?
Good question. It depends on the next funding. But I would say I want to expand into 8 new markets, you know, at least, which is going to be 12 available markets in total. I'd like to prioritize more tech hubs like Miami, Boston, Seattle, because 40% of our customers came from the tech industry.
Right.
And also, you know, when I talk to customers and also when we collect data from our visitors, Chicago, Atlanta, you know, those business hubs, you know, tend to popular. So I'd say, you know, we should be available in those markets so that, you know, many people can keep using any place in the future.
So if you're going into a new market, is it super expensive for you to go into a new market? Like, have you figured out like what it costs to go into a new market, and you have to hire like a full-time person that like lives there and oversees stuff? Like, how does that look for you?
Yeah. So our business model is pretty cash intensive. First, you know, we need to hire someone on the ground, right? Who manage the, you know, properties. And second, you know, we purchase furniture, items, and desk, monitor, and, you know, office setup. So it's cost, I would say it's cost 10 to 12K to launch per unit. It depends on the room size and room type though. So I think mainly, you know, these two costs, to open new market.
It sounds like you spent a lot of time at IKEA.
Yeah, but we hate IKEA. IKEA types of furniture. Like, IKEA is great, you know, but we are focusing on more, you know, luxury side.
Yeah, no.
Personally, I like IKEA. Yeah.
Well, so if you're going to a new market, like, how many units do you need to open in a new market? Like, you're not going to do one, right? So is there like a minimum, like, oh, we got to do 50 of them? Or like, what do you target?
Yep. We used to launch 10 to 15 units when we opened a new market to justify our investment. But we are thinking, like, in the future, we test out, you know, fewer units, like 2 or 3 units, launch first, and then see the performance, and to learn, you know, which neighbor, you know, tend to, you know, high occupancy. And then we double down. So that's going to be our new strategy.
Seems like you could find partners in these different cities to do the property management for you, so you didn't have to have a full-time person.
That's an option. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, there's a lot of property management people that work for Airbnb, property management, all these different things, right? You'd think you leverage them, like send them to IKEA or wherever you go for their shopping list. Like, go buy these things and furniture. Then, I mean, you guys don't clean the properties, right? Like, you don't do like maid services and stuff, right? Is that part of what you do?
We outsource cleaning. But once we have larger amount of units in specific markets, we are planning to hire in-person cleaner.
Right. Yeah, that's the challenges of Airbnb. It's like every day they've got to do all this kind of stuff of people coming or going. So you don't have to worry as much if it's month to month. But
yeah, recently, you know, cleaning cost is crazy expensive. Like, it's already depend on the market. But, you know, for example, in San Francisco, we pay around, you know, 300 up to 500, depend on the, you know, room size.
Just to clean the place?
Yeah. it's too much, you know.
Holy moly.
It's crazy.
Dude, I will come over there and clean it for 500.
You should come. Yeah. You should come. You'll be super rich. Yeah.
That's insane. $500. Damn.
Yeah, sometimes.
So what has been like the most surprising thing that you've had to deal with in this company? Like what is the thing that you never, like, was the most surprising to you? You never thought you'd have to deal with?
Surprising thing? Good question. I was surprised, you know, when when we find product market fit, I feel it, like, you know. So when we were working on marketplace business, our growth is pretty flat, you know, not super, you know, rapid like startup. But when we pivot from the marketplace to our current model, property management / subleasing, you know, our revenue growth is, you know, super crazy, you know, growth. And then we've seen many, you know, happy customers, you know, many positive reviews and returning customers. And yeah, metrics-wise, you know, we've seen revenue growth, we've seen high retention rate. But on the other hand, you know, I felt it, you know, finding PMF, product market fit, PMF. So, yeah.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It feels good, and also...
Feels good.
Feels good, yes, but feeling like, hey, this is, you know, this is gonna big, it's gonna huge. So I felt that. I'm a first-time entrepreneur, so I didn't know this, you know, how I feel when I find product market fit.
Yeah, but we all wake up every week too and ask ourselves, why the hell are we doing this? Like, I'm sure you still do that, right? You still do that.
Right. Right.
Like, why am I doing this? That's normal too.
Good to know.
So what is the weirdest thing that somebody has done in one of your places? Have you, like, somebody had this crazy party, trashed the whole place? Like, have you had any of those, like, crazy? It's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. Have you had any of those crazy problems yet?
No yet. We manage, still we manage just 100 units, you know. We don't have any, like, crazy guests yet. Luckily,
not yet.
Yeah, we're focusing on more, you know, high-end, you know, more expensive properties. Because of that, maybe. Or, we had one crazy dog, you know. Dog, you know, messed up the, you know, the furniture and...
Chewed everything up.
Yeah, beds, you know, bed covers. But that's it. Yeah, not crazy, you know, guess. But interesting.
In time, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, right? Like, that's the thing about business. It's like, if it happens 1% of the time, it doesn't happen very often. But when you've got 1,000... you know, apartments, like, now 1% all of a sudden is like, this shit happens all the time. Like, just crazy stuff that you have to deal with.
Right. But recently, you know, on the other hand, recently some YouTuber, TikTokers, those types of, you know, people stay with us in LA. Yeah. Also famous CEOs, you know, I don't disclose their names, but, you know, famous startup CEOs and executives recently. No, stay with any place.
Well, so what does international expansion look like for you? I'm sure you have, there's got to be a goal here for you to, like, do this in Tokyo or something, I would imagine. It's got to be on your to-do list.
That's my dream. I want to make any place a global brand, global hospitality brand for remote workers. But for the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, we will focus on the US market. And after that, we're going to expand internationally.
Well, I love what you're doing. I think it's great. What else do you see in the future for any place? Do you see expanding to different kinds of things? You're talking about building more technology, you know, they're being able to make it easier for them if they go from one place to another and their personal preferences. Like, what else do you kind of see as the future of how this evolves?
Yep. As I mentioned earlier, I want to make any place a lifestyle brand, not just accommodation. So once we have more units in, you know, different locations, probably we could do subscription type of, you know, experience. Like, if you subscribe any place for 6 months or a year, you can change your location whenever you want. So that types of product, you know, I'd like to build in the future.
Yeah, that would be fun. Well, if you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, FullScale can help. We have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. We specialize in building a team dedicated directly for you. You can check us out at fullscale.io to learn more. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for being on the show today. I always like to ask people to end the show, what other kind of tips you have for other entrepreneurs? And, you know, you're a first-time entrepreneur yourself. You have any kind of key learning you've learned along on the way you'd like to share with everybody else? And maybe it's just to keep going, it's keep doing it. But
yeah, I would say my advice is to be flexible and never give up. It takes time to build a great product. We pivoted a lot. It takes time to find product market fit, but it usually not takes time to build a great product. If it's easy, you know, everyone now become billionaire. Maybe you are millionaire, but I know still I'm poor. But yeah, it takes time to build a great product. So, you know, but you should be flexible. You know, you can pivot until you find product market fit. So yeah, my advice is, you know, to be flexible and never give up.
Yeah, some people are so set on doing something a certain way that it never works, and they just kind of go down with the ship. And they're like, oh, we failed and whatever. And they're, you know, like you said, they didn't realize, like, oh, we can make some changes. Like, we can be flexible and there's another way. And sounds like you went through that with your marketplace idea, and it has pivoted to this. So good for you. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. Again, this was Steve Naito. You can check him out at itsanyplace.com, right?
Right.
Where else could people follow you or learn more about you?
Twitter, now X, or LinkedIn.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe one day I will stay at any place. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt. It was fun.
Thank you.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.